Mark chapter number 4. Just going through the Gospel of Mark here and to this fourth chapter. This is where we're at. And a very, very applicable text for today. It's wonderful. We're going to read the first two verses together, pray, and get right into the message. The Bible says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." So he's going to be teaching unto them in parables, and he'll speak to them in his doctrine. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this gathering together of the saints. And I thank you, God, for our church. I thank you for the brethren at this location, God, the brothers and sisters in Christ, God, that we have here, that we can come together and labor together with concerning the gospel of Christ and edify one another, help each other along the way. And God, truly, Lord, you're working in our midst, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's amongst us today, whether lost or saved, God, I pray that you give us exactly from the word of God what we need, whether a member or not, God, that you would just speak to our hearts today. Take control of this service. Use it for your glory. Help us, God, in a rich, wonderful way. And we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in Mark, we see the setting. Of course, we've already been looked at how Jesus, just previous to this, the previous chapters, where he would gather up to a mountain and he called his closer disciples up and he picked 12 out of those which would be then termed apostles. And they came down out of the mount, and we know that some accused them of being besides themselves. There's all kinds of opposition from the Pharisees, the friends, family. We saw the different things there that were trying to stop them, slow them down, hinder them in the ministry. And so we're past that now, and we see that they're really fully into that public ministry of Jesus Christ, beginning in Galilee, goes by the seashore. A lot of people are gathered there, and so he'll thrust out a little bit on a boat so that he can speak to them. If you can just kind of picture the hillside kind of going up down to where the water is, and he would venture out a little bit just so he could have a nice little amphitheater there, if you will, to be able to speak to the people that are there. And the Bible says in this particular context that he's going to speak in parables and unto them in doctrine. So even though it's a parable or parable type language here in these different things he's going to give, it's filled with doctrine. Now, a parable we're going to look at just for a minute to kind of show the reason for that. And they're in mixed company, a mixed multitude. And so he's going to speak in parable for a reason. So look back. It does give an example in Mark here or kind of fill in some details of what a parable is. I want to go back to Matthew, though, because it tells a little bit more intent on what the purpose of parables is. In Matthew 13, if you'll turn back there, and in verse number 10. So parables enable those who are tuned in with their hearts to hear and understand, while at the same time, those that are not interested in the man, the message, that they won't understand. Amen? So it's a very interesting thing. A parable is a very spiritual. The thought of a parable, what it is, it's a very spiritual teaching of what a parable does. And by the way, there's a lot of times people will come to church and they'll say, "Man, I didn't get anything today," right, from the Word of God. The Word of God is very interesting. It's different than anyone else's word. God's word it's powerful, it's quick, it's alive, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints to the marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. But know this, if you want to keep the word of God out, you can. You can. The Bible says you can shut your ears to the word. Jesus says often, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. And so that's what really a parable is the fact that for those that don't have ears to hear, you won't get anything from a parable, right? But if you do want to hear, then that truth will be open to you. And that's what a parable does. And so Jesus spoke to multitudes, and even though mixed company of those that wanted to hear, those that didn't want to hear, the message would go forth, and those that wanted to hear would hear, and those that didn't want to hear didn't hear. But it's just spiritual truth. You say, well, that's true in everything. It's different, though. It's spiritual truth. We're not talking about textbook understanding here. We're talking about deep truths. Remember, it's his doctrine. Understanding things from God's perspective is different than understanding things from man's perspective. Does that make sense? And so God's word clues you into God's perspective on things. And his perspective on things is deeper and broader than our, than any perspective we can ever give to something, right? Because he is the author of it. And so he can tell it from a designer's perspective. Just back in the aircraft days, at times I'd have to read the manuals from the one who put that system together. Amen? I'd have a problem in a system, and I halfway knew what I was doing, but sometimes the problem was so difficult to discern, so difficult to run down and find that actual issue of what's causing it, I'd have to go back to the design data, literally the design data, sometimes in the computer realm, sometimes just in the mechanical realm, hydraulic realm, pneumatic realm, and I'd have to study. I'd study schematics to see exactly where that fluid or where that air or where the different commands were coming from and what was doing that and what condition. I had to go way back, and sometimes I would actually call and talk to the engineers assigned to that particular area of the airplane, and sometimes they couldn't even figure it out. I had one problem. I had Boeing come out. Their design team came out, and we parked the airplane we had in there. They had everything. They for a week, they worked on this airplane. Quan Vu. We had a guy, Quan Vu is his name. And and it took a week, and finally, no dick and neck, no dick and neck. That's what he said. That's where he figured it out. It was an autopilot that was disconnected in flight. And we had stuff going on. We were running scenarios like crazy. It was amazing. Wires everywhere, computers everywhere. It took a week, and finally, it's like, there it is. He was so excited. I was very excited because I've been working this thing for months, flying around with this airplane. But the point is this, is that sometimes, I know we don't like to, sometimes we think we're smart, we think we get it, we're not. Life is more difficult than that problem we had on that airplane. Your life is much more complicated than that. My life is much more complicated and makeup than that. And we just need to get back to the designer of it all and tap into his understanding. If we're ever going to know anything, we're going to have to get our understanding from the designer. Does that make sense? And you can try all you want, and you can think you can figure it out on your own, but you can't. And so a parable is meant for everyone that thinks they know, they're not going to get it. But those that realize they don't, and they'll tune in to what God is saying through his word, they'll get it. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus spoke in parables. Look at Matthew 13, verse number 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. A mystery, right, is something that's otherwise hidden. It's something hidden that can be revealed. So he's saying to his disciples here, unto you it is given to know the mysteries. By the way, these aren't just the apostles here. It's the disciples. It's those that are interested in learning from Jesus Christ. A disciple is a student. Let me ask you a question. Would you consider yourself today a student of Jesus Christ? Because if you're not willing to sit down and let him teach you, you're not going to know anything. You're going to come to church and it's going to be a waste of time for you. You're going to open your Bible and it's going to be a waste of time for you. We don't go to the Bible to instruct God. We go to the Bible, we come to church so he can instruct us. Amen? That's what a disciple is. You're not here to tell God what his word says. We're not here to tell God what reality is. I guarantee you, he knows what reality is a whole lot better than we do. Amen? We are here to sit at his feet, open up our heart to him and say, Lord, please teach me. Teach me where I'm at. Show me what my issues are. Show me why I'm struggling in these areas. Show me my strengths. Show me my weaknesses. Help me to understand the things that you want me to understand for your glory. That's what a disciple is. And so he said, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries, the things that are otherwise hidden, of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You say, that's not fair. You mean God is taking from those that don't have to give to those that do? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one that's being taken from. I want to be the one that's being given to. And we all have that same opportunity. God is no respecter of persons. You determine if your ears are open. You determine if you're a disciple or not. You determine if you're interested in knowing from the designer how things work in life. You determine that. Amen? And so it says in verse number 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For here's the reason, verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, meaning it's hard. They're hard-hearted, and their ears are dull of hearing. Why? They won't let them hear. They won't open their ears to the truth. And their eyes, they have closed. Why? They don't want to see. They don't want to see what God is showing them. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart and should be converted. Amen. Converted to what? Converted to Christ. Amen. Converted to truth. Converted to reality. Converted to understanding how things really are, and to be that new creature as God would have you to be in Christ Jesus. And I should heal them. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So today, we're going to jump into this parable, and we're going to see basically some things that God wants to show them. And this is this teaching today. You might have heard different teachings in the parable of the sower, but today I'm just going to keep things in a realm that if you'll just tune in, you'll get some quick things that'll help you to understand some things about yourself and also some things about others as you try to help them with the scriptures. Amen. It's a wonderful parable from Mark's perspective here, and of course, under the inspiration of God, but him using the personality of Mark here in Mark 4, verse number 2. It says, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. First word, verse 3, hearken. And can I say that is a word we should always be interested in and responding to. Amen. When Jesus says, hey, listen up. You want to listen up, amen? Here's Jesus on a ship there in the sea, speaking to the multitudes, and the first thing he says is, hearken. Why? He wants your ears to be open. He's not wanting your ears to be closed. He's speaking in parables, not because he's trying to keep something from you, but because he's not going to cast his pearls before the swine, amen? He's not going to give his good doctrine to those that don't want it. He will honor you today in your wish. If you don't want to know the truth, don't worry. As the word of God goes forth, you won't know it. Amen. Why? Because that's how God has done it. He's honoring your desire to keep your ears closed. He'll honor your desire to keep your eyes shut. He will honor your desire to keep your heart hard. He will honor that. He won't push through, but guess what? He wants you. He's inviting you. Hearken, he says. Listen up. Open your eyes. Open your heart. And if you'll do that, he will pour into you some things today that will make you wiser than your instructors on earth. Amen. He will give you good doctrine today if you'll just listen. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. We're going to read through the first few verses here, and then we're going to pick up some of these phrases and make some application with them. There went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Very interesting. So depending on your perspective this morning, you're going to see this from different focal points. And I want to kind of point out those different characters within this parable that are interesting. The first thing we see in that third verse is that there went out a sower to sow. And so a sower, we have a sower and then he's sowing something. And what he's sowing, though not mentioned specifically, he's sowing seed, which in the, when God gives the explanation of the parable, he'll actually mention that seed to be the word of God. So we have the sower, we have the seed, and then we have the ground, right? We have the ground that the seed is being sown into or cast upon. And so we have these three things we're going to look at today, the sower, the seed, and the ground. And the ground later is going to be described by Christ as the hearts of those. So the word of God goes forth, someone is sowing the word of God goes forth, and it finds lodging, hopefully, or at least rests upon the hearts of mankind. That's a simplistic understanding of what's taking place here in this text. So the sower, directly referring to those teaching and preaching the word of God. From context, just in the life of Christ, in reference to those we're talking about, we would categorize John the Baptist as a sower. He came into the wilderness and he was preparing the way for the Lord and he was preaching truth. He was preaching the word of God. John would be a sower. Jesus, no doubt, was a sower. He was speaking the words of God. He was speaking truth. So he was sowing seed. And in this parable, in this passage, the word sow there means to scatter. It's not like taking a planter and planting it, driving seed into the ground. This is referring to taking seed and scattering it. It's more of almost like you would plant like wild flowers, the seed there where you would scatter in an area and then you might work the soil, whatever, but it would ultimately find its way in. That's the type of sowing that's taking place here. Jesus Christ, he sowed seed. The apostles, they were given opportunity as well to enter into ministry with him. And they were given opportunity to sow seed, to scatter seed. Some of the disciples as well. We'll find later on, especially in the book of Acts, to where they're looking for someone to replace Judas, who by transgression fell, and they looked for disciples. What type of disciples? Those that were with them that whole time, and they engaged in ministry. At one point, Jesus actually called 70 other disciples, aside from the 12 apostles, and they would be engaged in working alongside of Jesus Christ, and they went into the cities, and they sowed seed door to door. These are sowers. These are taking the word of God, and they're scattering the word out to the hearts of mankind. And so we have a passage in 2 Corinthians, if you want to look over there, in chapter 9, that helps us a little bit in this concept of sowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse number 6. Now, the main context of this passage is in reference to more of a giving, more of a financial type giving, but it kind of morphs a bit as we go through the text and we see it's actually talking about more than just that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse number 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Notice in this text that there is a direct correlation and connection between sowing and reaping. Who all planted a garden this year? A couple of y'all? Not that many, a few. Yeah, amen, amen. Did your garden, has it became bigger than you thought it would be? Like I know our area is like about a 3 foot by maybe 20 and all that. Do you know we planted seed in there and it pretty much is just staying confined in there. I mean, it hasn't like doubled itself. Like it didn't become like a 6 by 20 or 30 or 10 by 20 or 30. Anybody else? Did anybody's garden just start growing on them? Like become bigger than the area you sowed? Do you know if you wanted a bigger garden, you would have had to have planted a bigger garden. Does that make sense? If you wanted to have more crop, you would have had to planted a bigger area. Does that make sense? And I know our garden this year has done better than I think it ever has. I kind of wish we would have planted a bigger garden because it's doing real good. I'm used to not having a real good, you know, crop just because not green at all. It's not there. Amen? But when we start seeing the fruit, we're like, man, I wish we would have planted more beans, green beans and stuff. Amen. That would have been great. Amen. But that's kind of the way it goes. But do you know the principle of Scripture is that there's a direct correlation between sowing and reaping. Does that make sense? How many here would say, if we correlate this in reference to souls being saved, how many here would say, I'd like to see more souls saved? Amen. Amen. How many are here would say, I am sowing enough seed to see more souls saved? I'm sowing an abundance of seed, and I expect to see more souls from it. See, there's a direct correlation. We're quick to say, man, we live in dark days and people just aren't getting saved. And I would just challenge you and say, well, your garden's not just going to grow on its own. Amen. You're not going to be like, I planted no garden, but I sure am expecting to see souls saved. Now, it doesn't work that way. You have to put the work in planting the garden, sowing the seed, if you're going to see a harvest. Does that make sense? I would venture to say this. If you never pass out a tract and witness to people, do you know this? You will never lead anybody to the Lord. That's not a stretch. Because has anybody ever had someone knock on their door and say, hey, I was just walking by. I am lost. Can you tell me how to be saved? Anybody like that? Does that usually happen? Reverse door knocking? No reverse door knockings happening in your area? No? I have heard of people walking up. Maybe you're doing something that would indicate that you could be talked to about that. But typically speaking, people aren't looking for us to be saved. God actually called us the sower, right? And we as the saints, we're the one that scatter the seed. We're the ones that take the word of God and plant gardens, amen. We plant seed and then that grows. Does that make sense? And so that's kind of the thought here. If we want to see people saved, then we're going to sow seed. So there's that application here. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So that thought is here in this text, as we'll correlate back in Mark. But look at verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now we look at this. God is not, do you realize that God is not forcing you to sow seed? Now, you're commanded to. We'll give a account for not, but he's not forcing us to sow seed. He's not forcing us to take the word of God and get the word of God out, to get it out to people. Amen? And I will say, after going on this little trip this last week, man, that was a lot of effort to go through. After driving up there, I don't know how long, 13, 14, whatever hours it was to get there, and then driving back and all that, and all the monetary expense and just all the time and everything else, I was thinking while I was there, I was like, we're doing all this for these little spots of time to minister to people, right? Right? So, but the point is that that's what it takes. You have to actually have a desire, though, to have that happen. It was last year, I think, that Brother Hugh had actually mentioned a possible missions opportunity to go. And I've mentioned the church throughout the year and all that. And some can more easily go than others. But the point is that when we throw out possibilities and opportunities like that. I mean, the Baptist History Tour is another one of those examples. Tremendous, tremendous opportunities there, not so much in the sowing of seed, but in just helping, just from the Sunday school today, helping us to understand some things, getting stirred, if you will. Great example today of what that does. If you missed that, you need to listen to the online to the Sunday school message, amen. But the point is that a lot of these things, you'll never do these things unless you desire to. You have to get that desire to, right? And you know you. And you know what you desire, and you know what it takes to get that desire heading in the right direction. Does that make sense? And so you just need to do it. And I would say for some of this, it's just getting out there and doing it. When I first got saved, I was really into the wrong music bad. And I was convicted about my music. So I tried to listen to a sacred, you know, good music and all that. I couldn't do it. It's horrible. I felt like I was on an elevator, right? That elevator music going. But I came out of a really, really heavy rock and roll background and all that. And so more of an acid rock type thing. And so coming into Christianity, I was thinking, I'm just not going to listen to anything. Because I knew I wasn't going to listen to the bad because I've been there, done that. And I knew that wasn't good. Running with the Devil was one of my favorite songs, just so you know where I was coming from. And so that wasn't good now that I'm born again. So I asked people what I should listen to. I tried. I'm like, I can't. And so what I did was I listened to nothing for a time. And then I slowly introduced the good. And now I love it. Does that make sense? And so that's how we begin to purpose. You know, you might not be real good right now at sowing seed of the Word of God, preaching, witnessing. I mean, I sat down at the table with Chad on Friday night. Man, it was wonderful. Just the Word of God, just digging in, all that. And I don't expect that most people here could do that. But guess what? 20 years ago, I couldn't do that, right? And so what happened? I took an interest, and I began to purpose in my heart. And as I did that, listen, I'm not saying everybody here can be a John C. at the door, outdoor knocking, amen, today. But in time, how did he get that way? He purposed in his heart, and he just started engaging, right? And he became better at sowing seed. He became better at that through experience. And that's how we do that. We have to purpose in our heart. No one's going to force you. I'm not going to stand up here and make you feel bad because you're not doing what you should be doing. I'll preach it. I'll let God do the convicting. But me personally, I'm not going to put a guilt trip on you because you're not doing what you should be doing, right? Because guilt trips don't work very long, do they? And at the end of the day, they yield a really bad result, right? So I don't want to manipulate you into doing right, listening to the right things, doing right and preaching the gospel, dressing right and these things. I'm not, I don't want to be the one that makes you feel bad because of what you are comfortable today doing. But just because you're comfortable doing it, that doesn't mean it's right. You have to begin to purpose what's right. And as you begin to purpose towards that, then as that desire matches, man, you'll be all in. And as you do that, God will allow you to become good at sowing. And then as you become good at sowing, before too long, you'll begin to reap. And then once you start reaping, buddy, man, it's amazing. It is wonderful. And everybody here would say, if you've led a soul to Jesus Christ, you'd say, man, that right there was amazing. Amen. As you do spiritual somersaults, amen, in your heart over what just took place, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain what takes place like going out like we just went on. Yeah, it was a hard week. We're still pretty tired, amen. But man, it is absolutely amazing the opportunity just to take the Word of God and help somebody to know Jesus Christ and to know the Scriptures and encourage the brethren, amen. Be able to sit and have conversation pastor to pastor and just work through things and talk through things and encourage. It's amazing, amen. But you're not gonna pick up on that necessarily and say, well, I can do that, because you might not be able to do that right now. But if you'll purpose there, then before too long, you'll be able to be bountiful in your sowing as well in the areas you're not currently bountiful. Verse number 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God links this sowing, scattering, dispersing, desiring it. He links it to the grace of God coming in and making you more proficient and more proficient and more proficient so that you can abound. Your sufficiency will be found there. You'll be sufficient and you'll abound in this principle. Amen. I have a little pack of seeds here. Amen. I've had this pack for a while. Peppers. Everybody knows I like peppers. Amen. Do you know the seed in this package is doing me no good? It's doing you no good. Do you know that? Here's the principle I want you guys to get from this parable today that we're going to jump back to. The seed, Bible, closed seed packet. Right? The seed is, it can do nothing sitting there. It's not effectual. There's no way in this packet plants are going to start growing and we're going to get peppers from it. Does that make sense? What has to happen is this packet has to get opened, just like the Bible has to get opened. And the seed has to get scattered on good soil for this to become beneficial. Now, if that happens, who does the seed being scattered benefit first? Who is it? The one that sowed it. This is the principle missing. We don't oftentimes feel like we need to scatter the word because we already have it. Oh, I hope you can get this today. We oftentimes as Christians think we're good because I've already got what I need. And we hold on to it like it's in a packet and we keep it. Let me ask you again. Is this benefiting me? No. It has to be sown to benefit me. If I'll sow it and then deal properly with it, it will grow and it will bring forth fruit. And who gets to eat the fruit first? I do. Then I share it with others. And I can be a blessing to others, but I'll eat it first. Anybody here growing a garden and you're saying, I don't want any of it, I'm just going to give it all away. I'm not going to eat any of it. Anybody like that? Well, that would be really spiritual, brother. No, the spiritual concept is we eat of it first. We're first partakers of the fruit. That's what the Bible says. So you could try to be spiritual on me in that regard, but that would be not. The way that it works is you eat of the fruit first of what you've sown. Because if you're not growing spiritually, you're not going to be good for anybody. So God makes sure you get what you need first from what you've sown. Then he gives you over and above so that you can share that fruit with others. Here's the fun part. I sowed my seed, now they're all gone. How am I going to get more seed? From the fruit. If you look at the fruit you eat, you'll notice that within the fruit is the seed. Usually inside, sometimes on the outside, like strawberries. But the fruit, not the branch. The fruit doesn't come from the seed don't come from the branch. The seed don't come from the root. The seed comes from the fruit. Amen. So this might be your life right now. All you are is a seed packet. You got the seed in you. You were born again. You got seed. You know the word of God. But you're not sowing it. You're a closed packet. And because you're a closed packet, you're having to fabricate fruit in your life that's false fruit. So you can act like you're actually spiritual, but you're not. Until this is sown around you in your life and begins to grow, you're not spiritual. You can't be, by definition. It's a false spirituality. And our world is flooded with that today. A false spirituality of making it look like on the outside we're spiritual. But there's no fruit. And we know there's no fruit because no one around us is benefiting. Does that make sense? And that's what this parable is all about. Turn back there if you would, please. Back into Mark. Into Mark chapter number 4. Verse number 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow. What was he sowing? The word of God. Who's the sower? The saint. Why is he sowing? He's sowing to bring forth fruit. Why? Number one, he needs it. And number two, others need it. And number three, that's how we get more sowers of seed. Amen? It wouldn't be nice if our church doubled in size, not just so we could say we got a bigger church, but so that we can double the sowers. Don't we want our world reached with the gospel of Christ? Well, then We need some more sowers. How do we get more sowers? You and I sowing seed. You say, yeah, but about 1 in 100 get saved. Perfect. Hallelujah. You better sow a lot of seed then. Amen. That's not discouraging. That is encouraging. We go to an Indian reservation. Yeah, there's a lot of darkness, a lot of wickedness. Yeah, people calling themselves Lucifer and all this garbage and all that. But guess what? There was a Chad. There's a Chad, hallelujah. Amen. Who's been gloriously born again. There's a Ron, amen. Who just got saved, amen. I'm telling you, if just one, amen. Now we're multiplying that thing, amen. That's where you and I, we're sowing seed. Sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's 60, sometimes it's 100. It doesn't matter, amen. We need some people being reproduced, amen, by the seed of the Word of God, and that's where we come in. Where we have the ground. This is where we can really make some headway in this area in our own lives and in others. We have the ground. Four types of grounds are mentioned in this parable. We have the ground by the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. Ground then is likened later in the explanation as the heart, the condition of the heart. When we spread forth the word of God, the condition of the heart determines what's going to happen when that seed finds its way to that heart. Amen? And so I'm not responsible primarily for the condition of your heart. You're responsible. I'm responsible for the condition of my heart. If I'm hard-hearted, I have to understand no seed's going to get in. None. Matter of fact, the Bible says not only will it not go get in, but the devil will actually come and steal it away. Look at verse number 15 of our text, chapter 4, verse number 14 says, the sower soweth the word. Verse 15 says, and these are they by the wayside, Mark 4:15. It says, by the wayside, where the word is sown. It says, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Parents, you better be careful here. You better make sure you're leading your children to have good ground in their heart. Ground that's not hard. If your children have hard hearts, no word of God can get through. No word of God can be planted. Rebellious hearts are hard hearts. Offended, bitter hearts are hard hearts. Angry, hurt hearts, hard hearts. We have to be careful in this area. Worldly hearts are hard hearts. Worldly hearts, there can be a heart that can be worldly and not totally hard, which we'll see, and just be filled with thorns and thistles and things like that, stones. But on the beginning of it, when the word of God's first being preached, someone who's steeped in the world and wants nothing to do with Christianity is a hard heart. They're into idolatry and worshiping of other things, maybe pleasure, maybe themselves, maybe their money, maybe their occupation. At the end of the day, the only way that the word of God is going to get through is if somebody has a heart that will receive it. Amen? You control the condition of your heart. If you're hurt and if you're bitter, I can't make you forgive. I can't make you get right with God. I can't. I can lead you, but if I'm trying to help you and you don't want help, you're just going to see me as the enemy anyway, right? But you have to see the importance of this. You're never going to be helped by God if this is you. You're just a closed packet. You keep it all in. I've been hurt one too many times. I don't want to be hurt. You keep it all in. If that's you, you're in trouble. Because not only can we not get the seed out, we can't get any seed in. And even if we could, it would just be seed in there. It wouldn't be able to grow. No moisture's getting in there. There's no soil in there. The conditions are not right for the seed to grow in here. Do you see that? And so this is so important. The hard heart. The heart that's, the seed is sown. But because you won't let it in, or those you're working with won't let it in, the seed cannot do its work because they've kept it out. And then what happens? Satan comes along and gathers up all that seed laying around because he doesn't want it laying there whenever you get to that place that you repent and you get a soft heart again, a good soil. And so the devil, like a vulture, is flying around everywhere. And all the word of God that's going out today, man, you might as well just picture what's going on today as a scattering of seed. And all that seed that's going around, everyone that has a receptive heart, that seed goes in, finds lodging, and the bird can't get to it. The fowl, the devil can't get to it. But all the word of God that goes forth today that could have been picked up but wasn't picked up, the vulture comes and he cleans it all up. So it's not just laying around, because if it's laying around and the conditions become right, it would grow. So he cleans it all up. That's why we have to keep scattering and keep scattering and keep scattering. You say, there's a person I've been witnessing to for 20 years. He still ain't saved. He's still hard-hearted. Keep scattering. Because every time you preach to that person, every time you get them the word of God, and that heart is hard and it falls to the ground, the devil comes and steals it away. That's what Jesus is teaching. And so we got to keep it up. We can't faint. We have to keep on going. Why? We love them. We know that they need the word of God. So we keep on a scattering. And can I say, for our own lives, in our own lives, we teach and we preach Bible reading every day. Study your Bible. Get into the Bible today. Why? Every day you need a fresh scattering of seed on your heart. Amen. You need that seed of the word of God to grow in you. Why? Because you need fruit. You need godly fruit. You need fruit from the word of God. Why? Because the first person that benefits from it is you and I. So that we can be who we need to be. So that as that fruit grows, we eat of it. And then we give it to others, which contains more seed of the word of God that others then can also grow by. The first was the hard ground. And then there's the stony ground. And the Bible says in verse number 16, very quickly, and these are they which which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endureth but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And so in the scattering, the heart is opened up enough to allow that word of God to come in and not be stolen away from the devil. If you have a bunch of rocks and you throw seed, it's not going to be visible on the surface of that it's there, but it might just spring up. But the problem is this, when it begins to spring up, those little roots try to find some ground to really get grounded, like the word we use, amen, to describe that. But there's nothing there. So the roots still grow, but they're not really fixed on anything. And so when the winds come by and all that, the offenses and all that come by, the plants have no firmness. They have no ability really to take root or even grab the nutrients they need. So they're weaker than they should be. And they're not firmly planted like they're supposed to be. So when problems come through their life, it just blows them over, amen. And in a sense, just causes their plant to lay there dormant and not able to produce fruit because their roots couldn't get into some soil, amen. Which means, listen, you getting saved isn't enough. When you first get saved, you're called a babe in Christ. You're still young. You can't stay. Listen, you're not going to take a baby, put it in a room, put some food in there, a microwave, amen. Put a refrigerator in there, pack the fridge with good stuff for them to live on. That baby's going to die on the vine in there. That baby can't survive. That baby needs help. That baby needs disciple. That baby needs brought along and taught how to eat. And it can't even change its own diaper on its own, amen. And this is the analogy of baby Christians. We need grounded in the truth. We need grounded, amen. And we got to get off thinking we know everything. We don't know everything. You don't know what you need, but God does, you see. And so stony ground, yes, it's taking root in a sense that the roots grow and it's grow, but it can't bear fruit because it's not strong enough to bear fruit. And then there's the thorny ground, verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which such that hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word. And so these are they which actually are in dirt, their roots are in dirt. The problem is they allow all these other weeds around them. Everything else is more important than preaching the word of God. Everything else is more important than opening up the seed packet of my life and letting the word of God go out, amen. The job is more important, amen. The bank account is more important. The fun is more important. The vacations are more important, amen. Sports is more important. Everything is more important. And we allow all these weeds to grow all around us. And we wonder why spiritually we're dying, amen. It's not because the ground isn't there. It's not because the conditions aren't such that you could grow, you could, but you got to weed your garden. Got to weed your garden. I am great at this analogy
in a garden sense. Because years gone by, I found a good trick putting mulch all over it, amen, to help the weeds not to grow. And now this year, my wife and kids, they're out there, they're the ones weeding it. And if they weren't the ones weeding it, I just get busy. I'll start off good. Look at those plants, they're growing great. And then before I know it, I'm like, where did all those weeds come from? And before I know it, the plants look great, but the fruit is horrible. And that's the way our lives get. It's because we don't weed the soil in our lives. We allow these things to pop up in our lives because, hey, this is important. And hey, this is important. Hey, I got to have that. And all. Before we know it, everything is more important than the Word of God. We don't got time now to read our Bible. We don't got time to hand a track out to that person at the store. We don't got time to talk to that person that God just said witness to. We don't got time to do anything except manage our own weed garden. Say, what am I supposed to do? Weed your garden. Get rid of all those things, and you ask God what should be in my life and what shouldn't, so that he can rip the package open in your life, amen. You can start actually spreading seed so you can see some stuff grow. Why? Because you need it. You need some fruit in your garden, because if you don't eat of the fruit of your own garden, you're going to get very discouraged, and you're going to get very depressed and despondent in your Christian life, and you're going to think, what's the use? Why? Because you're malnourished. You need some fruit to eat from God's word. You're a Christian. Carnal, processed, worldly food ain't gonna help you. Amen. You're going to become lethargic in your Christianity. You're going to become despondent. You're not going to grow. You think you're doing a lot of important things. I'm asking you this. Ask God what's important in your life, and you keep those, amen. And everything else get rid of, and ask him, say, God, how do I get my packet opened, amen, so I can start spreading some seed on good ground. Lastly, and we're done. Good ground, verse number 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as, this is what good ground is, such as hear the word. Remember the beginning of the parable? Ears to hear. Such that hear the word. Not to correct the preacher, and I might need some correcting here and there, amen. But for the most part, you just need to hear. Hear what God is saying, amen. Hear the word and receive it. Let it be planted deep down in without you trying to cause it to be some hybrid by the time it gets planted, amen. I take the word and I mix it with something else and make it into, no. Just take the word. Let the word of God, as God intended it, be planted in your heart. Hear it, receive it, and guess what the Bible says? And bring forth fruit. Do you know that if your heart is in a good condition, do you know that every time you hear the word of God, every time you hear the word of God, that seed will grow in you and bear fruit? We were up at, of course, Minnesota this week, way, way up there. Some of you saw pictures of the sky. It's beautiful. And the dirt is like dark brown and black. The dirt, the topsoil's like this deep. We're watching them work on roads and all that. I'm not kidding. And it's real fine. It's not even clumpy. It's fine as can be. They're picking the stuff, and it's like it went through a pulverizer right out of the ground. And do you know their growing season up there is shorter? A lot shorter, because last year they said they were in a stint of 40 degree below zero for a while. It's cold up there. They can get upwards of 4 or 5 foot of snow and it's snowing. I mean, that's in a thing. That's huge. The pastor said, yeah, when it hits 25 degrees below zero, we cancel church. She says, if people are on the road, we drive so far up here. If you have a car problem at that temp, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. And they say, once it hits negative 25, they go ahead, we're not going to have it. We said, we'll do Sunday morning, but we're not going to do the evening services. Crazy. Doug knows what goes on up there. And where we were at was actually a little bit more north than Fargo. The soil, they say, you plant those seeds, that stuff grows. And sure enough, man, their crops were growing up there. That's how our hearts need to be. You know, not this soil that, man, I gotta water that with Miracle Grow every week just to get that. No, not like that. Although, no doubt, God's word is Miracle Grow. Amen. Amen. Our heart needs to be so receptive to the word of God. Every time the word of God is given, man, it's like a magnet to our heart. And that stuff comes in and poof, just instant plant, amen. instant plants, and they just grow quickly because we don't have a short growing season, but praise the Lord, we want fruit to grow quick. And it just fruit everywhere, fruit abounding in our lives. That should be the life of the Christian, and can be, because our growing season is year round if we have a receptive heart, you see. I just have a real quick question. We'll be done. Number one, how does someone improve the soil condition of their heart? By this text, we must have ears to hear. We must allow others to plow up the ground as needed as they speak the truth. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Spend that time. Weed our garden, amen. We need to be present when the word of God's being preached and spoken. We need to put ourselves in the way of the word of God. We need to keep our soil free of rocks and weeds. We need to water our soil often by the word of God. And then when you begin to produce fruit, you need to eat some of that yourself. Amen. And then you need to give it to others. And then gather the seeds from that fruit so we can keep on a scatter. And we need to help each other out in reference to this. You can't live off the garden you planted last year. You can't live off the garden you planted 3 years ago. Oh, it used to be so. Forget that. No, we're today. You need to be planting and working on your garden daily. Amen. Or you won't produce fruit. Listen, there's a couple different types of people here. One, if you're lost and need to be saved, you don't have a garden yet. But if you will open your heart up to God's word, if you'll say, God, I believe what's being spoken there is right. Show me my need. I believe you died for me. If you'll do that and come to him with an open, receptive heart, he'll save your soul today. And then you'll start the process that we've been talking about, where now your heart can receive the word of God, and God will grow spiritual plants in your life that you'll be just amazed with. You'll be able to eat of that fruit, take and give that to others, have seed in abundance to scatter, and see others come to know Christ through it. This is God's plan. This is how it's supposed to work. But it all starts with this: if you have ears to hear. Sometimes as Christians, we close our ears, don't we? We let the weeds grow up. We wonder why we're struggling. That's why we're struggling. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And we thank you, God, for this time together. Lord, I've studied this parable many, many times, the other passages as well. And Lord, every time I study it, I'm just amazed at the simplicity of this passage and how much understanding it gives in reference to why people receive or reject the word of God, and why we grow or don't grow, and how we're supposed to operate as a Christian, and how the word of God works and produces fruit, and how we're to take of it and live on that. We're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's just absolutely amazing. Your word's described as bread. Your word's described as water. We need both for our lives to be spiritually enriched and able to grow and to bear fruit. And God, the devil would love for us to lay aside the word of God or to zip up the packet so seeds aren't getting in or out. But Lord, whenever that happens in our lives, Lord, we become miserable. We become beat down. We just get so discouraged. And the answer is always getting back to the word of God and decluttering our life and those things that the enemy has talked us into putting into our life to keep us from the scriptures. So God, help us with this today. And Lord, might there be someone here that's lost. And Lord, I hope that they understand from the message today that they can be saved today. But they have to be open. Their heart has to be open to receive your word today. And if that's the case, Lord, then they're absolutely able to be born again. I pray that they would come. We love you. We thank you. Bless this day. Bless your word as it's gone forth. We pray in Jesus' name.